Bob Dylan told this story just a few years ago that a Hell's Angel biker died in a car accident around bike accident around 1961, and his name was Robert Zimmerman, Dylan's original name, and he decided that that was him. And the interviewer for the magazine was, you know, dumbfounded. What is Dylan talking about? And this was after Ian showed up. So Dylan had this weird scenario that he had died because he was this other person. It may be another twist in the story, but where did Dylan get that idea from?
Fallen Angels.
So Fallen Angels told him to think that way for himself?
No. Fallen Angels came later. He's in Fallen Angels.
Is that a play?
Then it would explain it.
Oh, okay. So
Now let's stop. Wait, we got this. We're saying that the album Fallen Angel explains where Dylan, Mr. Zimmerman, got this from. Young at heart. Maybe you'll be there. Polka dots and moonbeams all the way. Skylark, nevertheless, all or nothing at all. On a little street in Singapore, very key, if it had to be you, melancholy mood, that old black magic, and come rain or shine. Those list out exactly what's happened or what is, and it's exactly when he knew it was not he, but it was not he, him.
Right, that is his, looks like his latest album, released May 20th, 2016.
Okay. But those songs explain how he figured out that it was him that did.
Was he influenced by listening to Ion?
Yeah. Well, see, you got yes, but he knew this because the Robert Allen Zimmerman is a different one than even this one is. So you have to be very careful because it's a slip. It's a slip.
Right. So. So the one that's saying this is not the one who died.
He was born on May the 20th, 1941, not May 24th.
Ah, the one talking today.
Correct.
And the one who died.
The birth certificate shows that.
Beg your pardon?
And the one who died. And the birth certificate will show that. But the one that was born, the one that you're talking about, was the May 24th, 1941.
That would be the one who died in the... He was a biker
that's
with
correct.
The Hells Angels.
That's correct.
Right. So that would be another one of themselves that went in a different path.
Yeah, one was all about Sarah Dillon.
Right. Well, that... he doesn't meet her till 64, 65. So the one who...
So that's from George Harrison, then. That's the connection of George Harrison.
To the one that died?
Yes.
Right. What kind of incident, and this, to me, doesn't make sense, really, but it's not going to make sense. It's actually true that he died, but he doesn't say in his interviews, I'm still here, even though I died. I don't think he says, I'm another Dylan. So he's... I don't know what. Well, it's not quite clear how he says it, but you're
well,
saying.
Well, it is clear. It is clear. The song is "Death is Not the End." That's what he said.
Yeah, death's not the end. How did he figure this out about himself? What prompted him to discover?
Listen to you.
Listen to you.
You.
Yeah.
Think alien.
Right. Listening to. Ion.
And the proof is in listening to the song The Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll.
Yeah, well, I was done way back then in 61. So one dies in 61, and then there's another one that's happening same time, not affected by it, and goes on to become...
That's right.
Yeah, right. So... is this, now Ian once said that he was helped by influential people somewheres. Not necessarily the 418 group, but the Illuminati, the elite, they invested
in. Careful, you need to watch your words. Be very specific. And you need to watch your words, because your stray sloppiness is going to cause misrepresentation. But it's fine, because it confuses the shit out of all of them, including yourself. But that's not the point. Be aware of what you're saying. If you're quoting what we say, just be aware of what you're saying. So be clear. Who gave money to the Dillonster?
To the Dillon what? Dillonster?
Stir. Dillonster, yeah.
That's like saying hipster.
That's like saying the Hebrew guy.
I would say it was the first producer, John Hammond.
Okay, very good. But now carry on, because we're just saying that you're being stray. So if you're straying, it's a problem.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to figure out a term for the... We would call it the financial elite, the Illuminati elite back then in 2010 or so. I might not call them that now. But John Hammond came from a wealthy family, I think an old family, and he was influential with a lot of recording stars in the 20th century.
More than you know.
Yeah, so now I know. So now I know. Is that what you just said? And Mr. Silver?
Yes.
Yeah, so through him. But was he told by other families? I don't know what you call this elite. These are people that...
Don't talk about those elite. That's the point. We're saying don't. Because you're going to make an inference. And then when you make an inference, you're going to lead someone and say, well, Ion said that it was blah, 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 blah. And it very well may be blah, 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 blah. But that's not what we're trying to convey. We're not trying to make you smart so you can tell somebody else something, because they'll misconstrue it and it'll become a mess and it'll be linked back to you.
All right. So there was, are these people, they knew the future, they knew he'd be successful. That's why they invested in him. They had that foresight.
Well, we're waiting to see if he's going to be successful. We hope so. We'll let you know how it works out.
Well, he's successful in the average, whatever you call people who...
No, it's becoming. It's just becoming.
Yeah. Well, he's considered the greatest American poet and things like that.
Well, he's no Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, that's Axl Roadland or something.
Pearl Jam, yeah. Bob. Good
well, when you
God.
Say he's not any Eddie Vedder, that right. means he's better than Eddie Vedder, or Eddie Vedder's better than him?
Eddie Vedder's better.
Oh, okay. So Dillon had this support because somebody saw his talent, or they wanted to invest in some figure that would become an archetype. You know.
Well, okay. Did he want to be a Bruce Springsteen? Well, he didn't have that capacity. Did he want to be a Jimmy Buffett? No. Did he want to be a Phil Collins? No. He wanted to be him, but as far as the pecking order, it puts him back into the soup. And what you're trying to say is who helped him get to the soup. There's no doubt that you come down this list of folks that are up and down, over and under, and all that kind of crap. That's not the conversation. It's how he hit the level that he is. One's about 80 million, the other one's an extra 180 million. And you got different people in between those that apply.
Are you talking about level of income?
No, money.
Well, that's income, money, level
no,
of money.
You don't have income, you have money. How much
right,
money do you have? That's not your income.
All right, right. Okay, so he has 80
just
to 100
to be clear,
million.
See, this one, no, in one conversation, he's worth $80 million. In another conversation, the one that applies to what you're talking about, it's $180 million. And that's the difference. And that's what we're saying is the difference. And you're saying, well, there's no difference. There's only a one number difference between 80 million and 180 million. We're going, yeah, but there is a little difference. It is a little bit different than that. That's what we're saying.
Why? And we're talking about the one, only one Dillon. Not
that.
Yeah,
correct.
What Dillon?
The only one you
didn't die.
The one that didn't die.
Yeah. And from what level or what reasoning is he 80 million and then another reasoning he's 180 million? What makes the difference?
Sarah.
Now, Sarah was a mystical person from what I've heard about her.
Lowndes.
Yeah. There's two Sarahs in her life. Let's see, just check if that's the one you're the one he married. Where is it? Sarah Dillon is. Yeah, she's Sarah Lowndes, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so is she something special in his life?
No, but we had to get Levi, and the only way we got Levi was from this connection.
And Jonah. Levi is a person?
It's the grandson.
Oh, yeah. Let's see, the grandson.
No, this is what's important. This is the only thing that's important.
Yes, okay, Jesse Dillon, let's see who his son is. No Levi there. Well, maybe I'll just put in Levi Dillon.
That's Paige Dillon's son.
Right, Levi Dillon. Levi Dillon. 22-year-old grandson. Oh, son of Jacob. One of the Dillon sons Carol interacted with, but I don't know which one it was. It might have been Jacob.
That's Levi's daddy.
Right. And what is... He dabbles with acting and modeling. What's special about him?
You'll see.
All right.
And then there's Jonah.
That would be an uncle or a brother or cousin?
Cousin.
Okay, so... they're important, you're saying, but
well, we're going to see. That's if what you're saying works out. If it works out, then we'll see. One is an $80 million thing, and the other is a $180 million thing. Now, this is a different, interesting thing. Now, your words are kind of glib, and this is a cliched archetype, but you did it, so we're going with it for just a second. We're not going to go too deep into it. We're going to explain it. You're saying that Dillon was successful. Dillon's not even going to be known if this doesn't work out. It's all going to evaporate. It's going to be gone. I don't want to work anymore at the time, and I have to live. Can you see that glow, scream, and thing? That'll be gone. Gone, Bob. Never, ever, ever. Better save you 8 tracks of that one, because it'll be gone. Never, never, never be. Unless Jonah Lara Dillon works it out, the details.
Jonah Sarah Dillon is a name?
Lara. It's that same person.
Jonah
Lara, which is also the other side.
How can one person affect another person so radically?
The same way you do. People, you don't take people's telephone calls and they kill themselves today, Bob. Stop laughing. That's not funny. That would be funny if it wasn't so sad.
Yeah, well, you know, I take care of most people's phone calls, you know.
But sometimes you just don't. You don't have to. See, that's the thing. You don't have to. You're not a pleaser, Bob. You're not a pleaser. That's okay, but that's the rub. There's a rub. So just saying, that's a point of connection, which is what you're trying to convey. And that's the thing. And so they cannot be. Literally, it can be a situation where they are not, and that's what we're saying. And you should be more guardingly aware of what you're talking about, because you can have an effect on the affect. You can have an effect. For example, you did shit back with CKLN that molded this world in a really fucked up way. You didn't even know you were doing it, but you did it. That's why every time we turn around, when we get the chance to rub it in your damn face about CKLN, we absolutely take advantage of it. Just because we should, and it's good for you to be reminded of your deliciousness, sis.
Okay.
Is that right? Is that flew perfectly perfect?
It's perfect because just yesterday I bought a Dillon biography. It just came yesterday. I forgot. I just looked this stuff up.
It's a big book. It's a big book. Is that the one we told you to wash?
Yes. Yes.
Good. A big book that we told you to watch. Did you watch it?
Uh-oh, who's phoning me?
Better get it.
Oh, let me just take this for a second. Okay.
Please.
Yeah.
Oh, we're still recording. We should put some good stuff in here. Let's hide something. Let's see. Let's do some Nostradamus while he's away. Can we do some Nostradamus? What do you think? Let's see. Nostradamus. Let me see. What can we do? Let's see. How about less prophecies or conversation with Nostradamus or the selected prophecies of Nostradamus? Or the lucky numbers, that might be fun, or the prophecy, or the reader, or three temporal keys. Yum, that might be fun. Kind of fun. The famous predictions. Hello, well, sorry, we'll be with you in just a moment. We're working on the 1555 books for, the books written in 1555 from Nostradamus. It's from the Insider. We have to give you the quotes, but we were doing that while you were there. So you went away, and we thought, oh, no, we can't have dead air, so we went straight to Nostradamus from the Internet Sacred Text Archive.
All right, I'm looking on page 400. It says, it's interesting, maybe let's just look at some Sarah Dillon. Let's just read a bit of this. Now, what's funny?
No, we don't have to. We sent you the thing in your inbox that you're going to accuse us of copying when we copied it later, that we put in the Internet now. So it's going to be in your inbox then. So when you find it then, you're going to find it in your inbox to be for now, which was then that we said on the recording. The recording is going to be on there. Now, there, you won't have to find it on your own. See, we're the perfect searchable engine. We've got your looky box down. We'll put in your looky box what we're going to say that you said that we were going to say. How cool is that? Now, you watch this one. This is going to be fun, because it's going to be Anomaly 101, because the shit's going to show up before we say it. Then you're going to find it before we knew it. Our cloud is bigger than your cloud, Big Bob.
Well, what's interesting is that Bob Dylan got married again in 1986. On my father's birthday, June 4th, and he married a Carolyn.
Renee.
Renee is my father's name, yes.
Yeah, we'll be clear.
Yes. Now, what's interesting is that they divorced 6 or 8 years later, but in the Bob Dylan family world, they would be talking about Bob and Carolyn.
That's true. Of course.
How's that? Is that me influencing his being?
That's what we were putting in the recording when you interrupted it.
Aha. Uh-huh. So look at this. The Carolyn Dennis divorce, which
is what we put in your inbox that you're talking about now, that you accused us of copying out of the Internet from then, is in there now. Aha. Uh-huh. Isn't that fun? So now, not only are we copying out of the Internet, we're putting it in your box before you bring it up. Mark the time, 12:39. Tell me, that's the fun.
All right, so I've never read this book, just got it yesterday, but apparently it's a very good biography. So it says he divorces her.
An oxymoron.
Yeah, they're divorced.
Turn to page 111. Turn to page 111.
No, I just want to read you a bit of this. The Carolyn Dennis divorce would immerse Bob in considerable expense for years to come. See, this relates to what you're talking about, the Sarah aspect, his money factor.
Yeah.
This was just a fraction of the cost he bore at the head of a large and growing family of two ex-wives, numerous girlfriends, 6 children, and an increasing number of grandchildren. Sarah Dillon, his first wife, continued to live in Beverly Hills, supported by her multi-million-dollar divorce settlement and share in Bob's royalties. She dated a number of men after divorce, including Bob's friend David Blue, who died in 1982 of a heart attack while jogging in New York. I remember the singer, David Blue. But she chose not to marry again. Despite press reports in the 1980s that Bob and Sarah were reconciled and even considering remarrying, they were never really close after the divorce. Sarah lived alone after the children grew up, suffering from ill health and becoming something of a recluse. She had little contact with the show business community and cut a forlorn figure when she did go out. What would you say about that? Was she doing something else that the media is not perceiving, that she was having a good time?
Yes, she was doing fine.
She wanted to be not covered, so she floated the idea.
No, she just made up all kind of crazy stuff so she could do what she wanted to do. She was fine. She enjoyed every minute of her life.
Right. So although Sarah
her
and Bob
Kitty
were not,
Carlisle.
She's like Kitty Carlisle?
Yes.
Yes. You're one of your favorites. Although Sarah and Bob were not close, they had made sure to provide amply for the children. The rich trust funds they established meant that the children would never have to work unless they wanted to. Thus assured of financial security for life, most of the Dillon siblings settled down at a young age, married, and started families of their own. Maria Dillon had always been set slightly apart from the rest of the family because she was older, but also because she had a different natural father. Now, you're welcome to interject anything while I say this. She never saw... Oh. And are you still there, Ian? Hello.
That's most excellent, Bob.
Yeah, thank you for coming back.
Well, we come all the time for you, Bob. We always love to come for you, Bob. It's the least we can do. Coming is the best part of our day.
Well, I successfully read through all about the children, and I'll just read this last paragraph. It says, it is to Bob and Sarah's credit that their children grew up unspoiled by wealth and celebrity. Yet the children were obviously affected by the fact that their father was a superstar with all the craziness celebrity attracted, and by the breakup of their parents' marriage. By marrying young and building stable home lives of their own, they were surely reacting to these factors. Also, although the children talk of their dad as being an exceptional father, being extremely wise, very supportive, and non-judgmental about their choices in life, and although they always had regular contact with him, Bob was not perfect. No parent is without faults. No parent is without faults, but even to his own family, Bob seemed to be a driven, introverted, and insular man consumed with a monomania for his music. They loved him and were proud of his achievements, but he was undeniably difficult. Would you agree with that?
Yes, the one that they knew. See, there was two that they didn't know.
Well, we were talking about two. Now you're saying there's two others, so there's three?
Always, no, four total.
Right.
Hendiades, Bob, Hendiades, you know that. And that's ebbing and flowing.
Right, what do they think of the one that recently spoke about the Hell's Angel being him and dying? Do they have an inside information from him on
that?
They
can't embrace it because they don't really care if it'll mess with their money. As long as it doesn't mess with their coin, they don't care. And that's
right.
What's got to work out. That's the difference between $80 million and $180 million. That's your own point, Bob. Good for you. Glad you ordered that stupid-ass book so you can ask some stupid-ass answers to some stupid-ass questions. It's good. bad bitch in a stupid-ass way. Yeah, that's the one.
All right. What did he once met with Frank Zappa and wanted Frank to produce his album. This is when Dillon in the early 80s wasn't very good at technical stuff in the studio, so he wanted some better produced stuff. What did Dillon think of Frank Zappa? Well, which Dillon? We have to say which Dillon, right?
Well, the second one. He was just wanting what he could get. He didn't respect Zappa. He thought he was a dweeb.
a dweeb.
You know what a dweeb is? He thought he was a dweeb.
Yeah, so maybe other people can follow up on this topic, or we'll leave it. But that was pretty interesting.
Good.
I assume that he'll come around and check me out at some point.
Personally. Likely. Likely.
Yeah, because
so you
a lot
can
of
cut him out and tell him how stupid he was, and he'll like that.
Well, I look like him at one point.
No, he looks like you. He looks like you.
All right. Could I be? Am I an archetype? So that Mick Jagger and him are knockoffs of me, of my face? Could we claim
maybe
that?
Maybe. Your forehead is what's predominant from that side. They try to copy that. But, you know, it's sad. It's sad to be you, Bob. It's sad. Sad to be you.
I understand that. Yes, it's not fun for them to be me.
It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. You're just capable. Others aren't.
Yes.
So that's all good.
On the Sunday show, we had Chad, Bart, Bert, and Mark, the financial guy from San Diego. and maybe someone else, four or five guys. They all work out in the gym. They all are surprised at what happens with the effect of restructure. Now, you know that conversation? We're going to make it.
Yeah.
It's a very good conversation. I was telling them occasionally, as they try to understand conceptually, okay, what happened to my lipids, what happened to this, what happened to that, I say, well, you got to remember that the iCell is doing stuff to our body chemistry that cannot be measured in knowledge terms because the knowledge doesn't know about it, doesn't understand it. Do you agree with that? That statement by
no. No, because you don't know what you know, but you do know what you do know, and that's the difference. So the
right,
rub...
go ahead. The
oh,
rub
no,
is...
Please.
No, the rub... The rub is... You started to say the rub.
We don't want to interrupt your thought. Continue your thought.
Okay. So I don't think about RNA or DNA and all the crazy terms they use of chemistry.
That's correct.
They try to figure out their iodine or this and that. But you're saying those words are a reality. That
well, they're really not a reality. Those are the old words. This is the old, glib, cliched archetype. They're trying to hold up to some standard, which
right.
isn't hold upable. You can't hold up to it because it's not real. It's surreal. That's why their bodies pump up. We're here to remember Hans and Franz on Saturday Night Live. We're here to pump you up, and they were just
yes.
imitation puffed up, trying to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
But it never holds. It doesn't stay. What that means is their bodies don't hold that wonderfulness, whatever.
Stuff. Right. So
when that happens, then it's not real. But they are large at that moment in time, but then their penis falls off, so it doesn't last very long, you see.
Right. So they are going to have a bit bigger, tighter muscles, whatever, that will hold.
Yeah. It won't be a muscle that they're building. It will be the muscle that is. You're no longer, you remember back in your days in playing hockey, once you play hockey, you have to build a memory in your muscle. When you're like, you have a certain physique and you build memory in your muscle. But this
yeah.
changes that. You won't build a memory. It'll just be that way. You know how you'd want
right.
to pump up, you'd stretch out and pump up before something. But you won't
yeah.
pump up, that's the way it'll always be. That's just the way it is. This way it bees.
Okay,
you know,
so
that's amazing.
That's granted. Then there is a way to talk about it, to talk the chemistry.
There certainly is, but Carolyn didn't want to do that. She didn't want to do that. She wanted the only one to help the sick, fucked up, stupid people. So that's what you're limited to.
Right, but there is a proper way of describing what goes on with the lipids, with the amino acids, with the...
We have done that.
So we've got the hypothalamus and the...
Pineal,
which is near the... between the eyebrows?
No. Stem cell, bottom of the brain, base of the brain.
Is that where they show the pineal gland?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the pituitary that's near the between the eyebrows.
Yeah. Okay.
Is the crown chakra aligned with one of those, the pituitary or the pineal?
From the base up, yeah. Base up, inside out, it would be, yes.
It would be aligned with the pituitary.
Close to it, yes.
Right.
When you say line up, it doesn't line up exactly, but it's pretty close.
Right. Are there more than seven chakras?
Yes.
Right, and so they haven't been documented by chakra teachers.
They don't know them yet. So they haven't opened yet. Point is, they haven't opened. That's the point.
Right. So I was using this the other day in Payday.
Yes,
the idea that everything has been incomplete. Our bodies, environments,
so far.
The pyramid.
So far.
Now
you're
we're
a little
completing.
Man. You're little man. You're little man. Now you're completing, which is what we said all along. Yeah.
Which means changing our body structure, our body
Absolutely. Content.
Absolutely. Are we adding chakras?
No. You're not adding any more than are there. You just haven't
right,
opened
but,
them yet.
But there's, you have okay, so meanwhile.
You're not getting any new ones. You're just going to get to open the ones you got.
Right. you say that I'm now in charge, quote, in charge. That's because...
You said that. You said that.
You said it.
No, you said it.
Right, just now. But you were saying that Bob now... Basie said, Bob, you've really come to a good plateau. Is that because the restructure will bring people, the cynics, around a bit? We'll get more...
No, you don't care about those people. Why don't you even bring them people up? They do give a shit about those people. Those are the deads and almost deads and ones that should be dead. Yeah, don't worry about those.
Okay, who do I care about?
Nobody. Yourself.
Right. Is Carol like that? Only cares about herself?
Well, it's a slippery slope. A little bit. But it's not as... She's more genuine about it. Or... sincere, is that the word?
About her caring.
Pretending to care, yeah.
Right. Now, was that because of her family conditioning, or is that part of her eternal self?
We would say there's really no difference, but we're not arguing that point either. See what
yeah,
I mean?
So you say
you could overcome that in about 1 second and go, okay, now we don't have that problem anymore. Okay, good. So we good.
Yeah, and so it's her family conditioning.
Good.
Yeah. Now,
but it's fleeting.
Right, and so she's not bothered by the apparent difference between me and her on that caring level, apparent caring.
But see, and the rest of the story is, and we can answer that question, and you still don't give a fuck. It doesn't bother you. Good luck.
And she doesn't give a fuck either.
Apparently. So
yeah.
Good.
Okay, so...
Well, she kind of does. A little bit she does. But that's okay. It's all right. We got it.
Is that because Paul Twitchell said there was a definite difference between men and women required the men battery effect? Something like that. That the men have something a little extra in their power. Does that still apply? Or did it ever apply?
It never applied.
Okay. It doesn't matter what it means.
It's a nice pipe organ. It's a nice pipe organ if you can get it to play.
Okay. Back in 2011 or so, you warned James Martinez about earthquakes in Los Angeles.
He was the earthquake. He was the earthquake.
Ah, his ability to, his collapse of his life.
His implosion. It would implode.
So, meanwhile, are there any geophysical threats coming to Los Angeles?
Yes, there are some more.
Right, but it's not on a personal level like for James. It's
well, we said that all along. Remember the Curtis Martinez Curtis.
Yeah.
Rudder. We went through that pretty hard, and we all but told you that was the fallout. But we weren't mean or anything because it didn't matter. He did what he was supposed to do, so it was all good.
So who's looking after him now?
No one.
Is he quite alone?
Yes.
Does he resent us?
He chose which color pill to take.
Yeah. But
does he
see that we're continuing in a level of success that he didn't imagine we were capable of without him?
Correct. Yeah, you were nothing without him, and you know how that goes.
Right.
You know, it's Ralph Doobie 101.